Congressman Cynthia McKinney. Give her a warm welcome.
Yeah. Y'all, thank you very much. Y'all have to pardon me because I've been up all night long. We stopped in Delaware, but we actually are coming all the way from Kennebunkport, Maine. We were there to protest George W. Bush, and he showed up down here, and I missed him. I'll make the citizens arrest. I would just like to say a welcome to all of the international guests who are here. I am pleased to have been asked to join the others as a co-convener of the tribunal. We are here because we want justice. We can't find it at home, so we have to go into the international arena to get justice. But it doesn't matter where we have to go, we will remain undeterred. Our backs are not ever gonna bend. We are going to find our justice. It's a shame that George Bush would come down here for photo ops, and I don't think it's an accident that Nancy Pelosi showed up the very week after the launching of the tribunal. But the Democrats, in their visit to the Gulf States region, said that they were here to differentiate between the needs and the wants of the people. Well, I didn't see them making any differentiation with Halliburton or the Carlyle Group or money for the war or even on impeachment. So why is it that we have to have our needs and wants differentiated from them? Well, at some point, we're going to have a message specifically for them. Hopefully, it'll be in November of 08. But at any rate, I know that we are all here to take care of the important business, and that is to receive the evidence, the testimony from the survivors, and to have the lawyers who are internationally renowned do what lawyers do and prepare a dossier so we can have litigation in the international courts. We are going to hold this government accountable for what it did and did not do. So thank you very much for being here, and I'm really happy to be here, and I'm happy to be standing. Thank you.
Thank you, Cynthia. A couple of just housekeeping points as we begin to wrap up. Everyone should know that we are going to have a reception shortly after this that you're all welcome to. The activities of the tribunal begin tomorrow at 9 o'clock here for registration. The opening arguments will begin at 10. So folks, throughout the weekend. A couple of different things that we need to just acknowledge and groups that we need to acknowledge. We have survivors that have come from all over the country to be here that came in busloads from Jackson, Mississippi. From Houston, Texas. From Atlanta, Georgia. From Charlotte, North Carolina, and from New York City. And these are all survivors that have been working and been in the struggle and survivors' councils and solidarity committees and been doing work for the past, Seattle, Washington, I'm sorry. And they've been putting in work for the past 2 years to help build this movement. And we're honored to have everyone here and to be sharing testimony. If there's any survivor
who is here, who's made the long journey here, who would like to share their story. We are going to be having affidavits and testimonies throughout the tribunal. Please check in downstairs at the registration table today to let our folks know, our registrants know, that you would like to participate in that manner. We definitely want to include and tell everyone's story and make sure that it's a part of the official record that we're going to take to the international community to pursue this case against the United States government. A couple of things we want to wrap up. Simultaneously with the tribunal, we have some other things to help try and build this movement for reconstruction. A couple of things that are in your program that we definitely want folks to check out. I'm going to bring up folks from three different organizations that are part of our network and part of the work to build this movement. The first is the Gulf Coast Civic Works Project, and I'm going to bring up Amber to talk about that real briefly.
How y'all doing? So, stage or no? Like Kali said, what we're doing is addressing more of the reconstruction of what's going on. And since I've been displaced in Berkeley, California, I've had the great opportunity to work with guy Matt Nelson right here and a group called Color of Change. And the project, like Kali said, is called the Gulf Coast Civic Works Project. It's an initiative to create 100,000 civic works jobs across the entire Gulf Coast, definitely focusing on New Orleans because of the heavy impact to the infrastructure. At a living wage, employ residents who are both living here and displaced, invite them to come home, providing apprenticeship programs to truly address this infrastructure that is 2 years now in delay. So the forum that we're holding is going to be in the Bayou Room, number 2. I am going to be passing out some flyers, but the panel discussion is from 4 to 6 p.m., and we've got some great panelist speakers lined up, but definitely want the audience to converse with us because we will be the ones working these jobs, so the dialogue must be among us all. Even though we're pushing for legislation and pushing for dollars, federal dollars that are made on our backs, we need the support of the entire base, of the entire community, of the world, as a matter of fact, to truly address this infrastructure problem. So I hope you guys will all join me. That's Friday, August 31st. We'll be in the room from 1 to 6 p.m. 1 to 4 will be just Matt and I. Feel free to come in. We've got some one-pagers that are going to be placed around the entire building and all the rooms that explain and break down some of the logistics, such as the cost, which I'd like to share with y'all right now. Based on a ratio of labor to materials, 80 to 20, and a wage rate of $15 per hour, the total cost of this Gulf Coast Civic Works project would be $4 billion per year. And as it stands, note that $3 billion is roughly half to one-third of the cost of the war each month. So as we're having this dialogue, we're going to put some details to those ideas and say this is where it needs to be diverted in our name. So I hope you guys will join me.
Peace, everybody. How is everybody tonight? I just want to acknowledge black and brown unity, black and brown strong power right here. Gulf Coast Civic Works Project. Every time there's tragedy and crisis in our communities, there are a lot of lessons to be learned. And we learned a lot of those lessons. I'm from Milwaukee, and whether or not it's a crisis in Milwaukee or a crisis here in New Orleans, is that we understand and our people understand the lessons that we learn and we take home. I also want to say that our enemies also learn lessons from tragedy and crisis. And the lessons that our enemies learned from this tragedy of the hurricanes, Katrina and Rita, they learned that you can profit from poverty, that you can profit from suffering, you can profit from racism, and if you put them all together, you can profit even more. And so basically the Gulf Coast Civic Works Project says, let's put our public money and public resources back into the public. Let's involve survivors back into the rebuild. Let's have a survivor-led just rebuild. And to paraphrase M1 and Stickman of Dead Prez, the Gulf Coast Civic Works Project basically says, click, clack, give us our shit back. So come out on Friday. Please come out and participate so we can get our shit back.
All right, the next organization we have up that's working to do this, to this movement is the Katrina Action Network, Katrina Information Network. And I want to bring up Rosa Clemente to talk about that briefly.
Hello, how's everybody doing? I'm like a little kid. People sometimes are like, you're a little kid. But I feel as children, we have hope. And I was just had dinner with my new mentor and boss, Makani Timber-Nixon from Praxis Project. And she was talking about lack of hope. You know, and I think sometimes we have to have fun and smile. And this is a devastating time, but we have to be like children and hope that we're going to get through this. So I just want to share a quick story. And then talk about KIN, Katrina Information Network, KatrinaAction.org. After a 21-hour drive, we, Brad, a videographer, and King Downing, who just walked in from the ACLU, arrived in New Orleans. As we crossed the border of Mississippi, we spoke to folks displaced, white middle-class folks who have not seen a FEMA or Red Cross vehicle since the hurricane hit. Many Mexicano and Honduran immigrants just wandering around while ICE was picking people up. One thing many Latino brothers and sisters stressed was the fear that they are facing from white vigilantes trying to move them out of the city. And going into the shelters and seeing ICE, the federal immigration police who are down here in force. Speaking to a white middle-class man in Slidell, whom lost everything, he told us, American died to me on Tuesday, August 30th. I voted for Bush, but that rapper guy, Kanye, he was right. As we approached the New Orleans, after two military checkpoints with M16s pointed at us, we found our way to Canal Street. As we went down Canal Street, the damage was surreal. There was a boat in the street, toxic sludge in the streets, but what we immediately noticed was a number of police, military contractors, and Blackwater mercenaries protecting property. We came upon the convention center, and after all the cleanup, it still looked like a living hell. The smell of dead bodies was overwhelming. What was more crazy and really showed the inhumanity and the violation of human rights as is defined by the International Convention on Human Rights and the criminal misconduct of these devils, and that includes Condi and Alberto, is that there were plenty of hotels, the Marriott, the Wyndham, the Holiday Inn. They were completely habitable. If the Supreme Court can take my house on eminent domain, why didn't they declare eminent domain on August 29th and take all corporate property for the public good? As Brad stated, this, the convention center, is our modern-day slave vessel, and our people are in the midst of a new middle passage. Why? 5 feet from this hotel were the castles called the Marriott, the Wyndham, the Holiday Inn. If one thing I want people to know is that these four or five hotels within a block area were completely intact. These hotels still had water, blocks, boxes of water, thousands of boxes of water that we saw, mattresses, could have housed thousands of people as people were outside the convention looking in. A man about the age of 40, a white man, said, I can't believe they shot those young men as they were trying to get people into that hotel. As I spoke to him, he said that he remembered seeing three young black men were trying to take over the hotels and make it a makeshift medical center to get elderly and babies into safer conditions. The young people had pledged to stay in the convention center as long as their grandmothers and babies could go across the street. But as they were approached, the Blackwater mercenaries were already there, ready to fire. Outside all the hotels, you could see makeshift camps where people had lived. The conditions were atrocious. As we continued to document and talk to people, we were approached by two military police that said we had to leave now. They said we were not official. When we began to question this and say there are all kinds of people walking around the city of New Orleans, they informed us we could follow orders or be arrested. As we left, we saw a black man and woman looking like living ghosts wandering around the city. Are you leaving? They said, no, we could never leave. This is our home. As we traveled into Algiers, the destruction kept going. As much as folks want to talk about looting, we ran into many white folks who said, of course we looted. We had to survive. We then met up with Brother Malik Rahim and met with 30 organizers that are organizing here. They are committed to staying here for weeks, so folks need to try and come and spend a couple of days here. Malik and his wife Sharon are the People's Command Center right now. It's amazing to see how our people come and how self-determination is always manifested in the worst of times. They've opened up their own media clinic, which is why I'm able to send out this email to you, Davey, 10 days after this hurricane. There's no electricity, but somehow God has allowed us to have electricity here to send these stories out. We can't leave Algiers tonight, Davey. Why? Because there's a curfew. The military has said after dark, anyone in the streets or on a porch will be shot. Algiers is the hub for black people. As New Orleans is under martial law, last night around 6:30, we were informed that we would get one warning shot. After that, we could be shot on the spot. Throughout the night, we sat in front of Malik's house and we saw groups of white men riding around in pickup trucks, vigilantes, along with the New Orleans Police Department, and as always, the NYPD. Yes, y'all, the NYPD is in New Orleans. This has now become the battleground for our people. Lastly, at the end of the day, I love my people. I love them more every day. Check out these pictures, because even in the midst of hell, cats are politically clear on what they want and need. Many have expressed that they don't want to see any more press conferences, no more R. Sharptons, no more elected officials. They don't want that. They want long-term strategy and a right to return. All they're saying is get down here and help us. This is my dispatch from the South, Rosa Clemente, September 13, 2005. I just wanted to share that. I know people have read it, but as a member of Pacifica and no longer BAI, I'm now in Maryland. I've left Brooklyn. It's too expensive to live there. So I'll organize somewhere else, right? But as a journalist, I felt disgusted that there were no journalists of color and no young journalists of color that were getting the means from all these funders to go down there. So what I did was I called every hip-hop artist I knew, and I told my family, do not give your money to the Red Cross. Send me down there, and I'll give money to the people and report this story as best as I can. As a member of the Malcolm X Grassroots Movement and now the coordinator for Katrina Information Network, as a black Puerto Rican woman, as a member of the hip-hop generation, we cannot allow white supremacy to continue to divide us as African descendants. When New Orleans floods, Puerto Rico cries, Brazil cries, Cuba cries, Chile cries, Panama, Ecuador, Nicaragua, Dominican Republic, Mexico. We weep and we resist as dispersed people. We must shut down the movement of division and disunity that is now being perpetrated against us. As Latinas and Latinos, we must be clear. We are not white. We will never be white. And until we fully achieve black racial consciousness, we will continue to suffer. As Africans in the United States, we must understand that there are black people all over the world who suffer and resist. We only look at Peru to see how white life is always valued more. We are in a time where dogs that are abused get more press coverage and public policies passed to protect their lives than black, brown, and women's lives. So, I leave you with two moments of greatness. First of all, I got 3 calls from my family in Las Vegas, South Carolina, and New York. Did we just see you on TV? No, you couldn't have. You need to look at CNN. And what do I see? I don't see a day of presence being covered. I see 1,000 people marching from the 9-4 today while the hurricane rains were coming down because George Bush was here and the gods were telling him to go home. Marching. And we broke that sound barrier, like Amy Goodman says. We have our mainstream press that is us. And then that other corporate press could not tell our story today. It was too powerful to ignore. It was too real, and it was led by survivors and resistors. So while we made CNN, ABC News, and my father watching me with 1,000 people on Telemundo, we are telling the world our story internationally. We are resistors. If not, we would not be here. So I leave you with the story of Vieques, Puerto Rico, and resistance. The campaign against Vieques started 66 years before May 2005. The Puerto Rican people came together and said, I don't care if you believe in independent statehood or whatever. At the end of the day, we need to get the Navy the F out of here because we know that this is a Southern Command for all war in the world. And 3 years of united struggle, Brazilians, Africans, Puerto Ricans, progressive whites, political prisoners, all around the idea that the Navy must leave Vieques, on May 3rd, 2005, I was able to witness a historical moment when midnight struck and Lolita Lebron and Rafael Cansan Miranda, former political prisoners, were there and knocked down that gate and 15,000 people pushed the Navy out. That's resistance, and we can make it happen. And we have to make it happen. So please log on to KatrinaAction.org. Look at the divestment campaign we are not starting, but are going to kick off. The 50 cities. I know there are 50 people here who represent 50 cities. I'm going to be in the back, get the buttons, information, log on. We are going to hold the Bechtels and the Shaw and the Carnival Cruise Lines responsible for the millions, multi-hundred million dollars that they have misappropriated. We got to attack these cats at every level. We have to bring the monster down. Richie Perez, a former young lord, said on his deathbed, up the ante, y'all. So let's just say it. We got to up the ante, pa'lante, siempre pa'lante.
The final piece on the announcements around the activities going on, I'm going to bring up John V.F. Williams from the U.S. Human Rights Network. She's going to talk about the surge training, which is taking place on Saturday.
Buenas tardes, buenas noches a todos y todas compañeras y compañeros. Buenas tardes a todos los compañeros y compañeras. Le doy la bienvenida acá a toda la delegación internacional que ha venido de todas partes del mundo, especialmente a mi compañero Jesús Chucho García, que por ahí anda. Yo vengo de la Red de Derechos Humanos de los Estados Unidos. Estamos trabajando ahora mismo en los principios que guían el desplazamiento interno. Estamos claros y claras que el desplazamiento interno no es algo que pasa nada más en países como Colombia, no es nada más algo que pasa en países como Brasil también, es algo que pasa en países como los Estados Unidos. Welcome to everybody. My name is John B.F. Williams. I'm with the U.S. Human Rights Network. And I just gave the welcome to the brothers and sisters that came from all parts of the world and are part of the International Tribunal. I'm with the U.S. Human Rights Network once again, and we are working very hard around the guiding principles of internal displacement. The guiding principles of internal displacement guarantees certain rights for people that have been displaced due to specifically natural disasters and man-made disasters as well. And a lot of people think internal displacement happens in countries far away, like, you know, different countries in Africa, countries here in Brazil, countries specifically like Colombia. Well, internal displacement is happening right now in the United States as we speak. People are internally displaced throughout the country, and the U.S. government has to recognize a large population as internally displaced. So the U.S. Human Rights Network, in a nutshell, works to end U.S. exceptionalism. U.S. has to be accountable to the rest of the world for the violations that take place domestically. En síntesis, la Red de Derechos Humanos trabaja para finalizar y terminar con el excepcionalismo que tiene los Estados Unidos ahora mismo, porque los Estados Unidos tienen que responder a el mundo, no solamente a personas ciudadanas de los Estados Unidos, sino al mundo entero. The process of shadow reporting, first of all, the Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Racial Discrimination is convening in March in Geneva. For that, the civil society has the opportunity to submit a process that's called shadow reporting. If you don't know what shadow reporting is, you're in the right place. Why do I say that? Because on Saturday, we're having a training on the shadow reporting process for you to be able to document violations of your violations in regards to racial discrimination.
Este sábado, aquí mismito, en este mismo local, estamos teniendo un taller sobre la Convención Internacional de la Eliminación de la Discriminación Racial. Y estamos empezando el reporte de sombra. Así que vengan, está aquí mismito abajo.
We have a table set up downstairs with all this information, so please pick it up. We're also working on a video documentation project that will supplement that report. So Drina, who is the production manager, she's over here. If you know anybody that would like to document a testimony based on a violation, please see her, or you can see myself as well, and she will hook that up for you. We have a table downstairs, as I said, and I know Callie told me 2 minutes, and I'm probably way over that. So please check us out downstairs. I'll be here throughout the entire forum. Gina's here, and Jennifer's here, as so is Tanya, that's working specifically here in the Gulf Coast. So thank you. Gracias y buenas noches.
So I encourage everyone here who's here with us this weekend to support these campaigns and taxes to advance the Reconstruction movement. They're all going to be a part of the tribunal this weekend and definitely need your support, as this is just the first step in this process of justice that we're trying to attain to, you know, win the right to return and a just reconstruction of our people. Before we leave, I'm just going to let folks go so we can get on with the rest of the activities. There's a number of different local organizations. Also want to just alert folks that made invaluable contributions to making this happen. These include Safe Streets Strong Communities, Critical Resistance, Insight Women of Color Against Violence, the People's Institute for Survival and Beyond, the Welfare Rights Organization, Common Ground Relief, I may be missing a couple of other people, and many others. So if I forgot you, it's not intentional. We've been up for a long time. We got a long way to go. Definitely encourage everyone again to be there at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning as we get started, going through the testimonies, documenting this process, hearing all the different evidence to substantiate the charges that we are making against the United States.